verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to see you all. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Unsog. I'm the student worker here at King's. And as we get into the passage today, I'd like to ask you, have you forgotten anything important recently? I don't know about you, but that question strikes fear into my heart as I start patting myself down and checking my pockets for phone, keys, wallet, glasses, which I don't find because I'm wearing them, but I panic anyway. It all gets very emotional. There are lots of reasons why forgetting something isn't great, but when it's something you need for an important task or mission, it's no longer a minor inconvenience, but a major incident. We've been focusing on one such important mission in our sermon series these past few weeks. The most important mission we have as Christians, the mission of evangelism, of telling everyone about King Jesus and how he died and rose again to offer eternal life to sinners like you and me. We've seen how we want to be speaking the truth about Jesus to other people, making disciples of them, even as we expect to face opposition from the same people we're speaking to. Today, we're rounding off our sermon series with one crucial area, an area which can go dangerously overlooked in our mission plan, and that is to be praying regularly. Look at the first verse of today's passage. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. If you're anything like me, praying might be something that you know is important to do, yet often seems to slip your mind. Maybe in the rush of the busy day, or in the excitement to talk about Jesus, or under the fatigue of a long week, or in a panic at a tough question. It just doesn't always occur to us to take a moment to pray. But forgetting to pray for our evangelism isn't just a minor mishap, but a major act of self-sabotage. As we'll see from the passage today, prayer comes before and at every stage of the mission plan. And by missing it out, we are missing out on everything. So let's pray now as we look at Colossians together, asking God for his help. Heavenly Father, we come under your word today, thankful for the fact that we can speak to you through prayer. And we pray that now, as we listen to your word, that it might be preached faithfully through me, and that we might have hearts to hear and receive and have a desire to pray rekindled in us as we look at Colossians together. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine for a moment that you are an ambulance driver. A call has come in. It's an emergency, and you rush out the door. You're thinking ahead, preparing yourself for the damage. You are so ready. This is the moment you were training for. You put the keys into the ignition, get into gear, unless you're driving an automatic, and slam your foot down onto the pedal, ready to go out and save lives. Then nothing happens. you start to panic. What's going on? There are people dying out there. Everything's ready. The ambulance is fully decked out with all the equipment you'll ever need. Your uniform is so crisp and ironed. Why aren't you moving? Then you see a small red flashing light on the dashboard. No fuel. You're fully equipped, fully trained, fully on board to start your rescue mission. But you've forgotten one thing, the one thing that's actually going to get you moving, and there's nothing you can do. Evangelizing without prayer is a similar endeavor. We can be sitting in our evangelistic ambulance, ready to preach truth and make disciples and expect opposition, all good and worthy and great things. But without prayer to fuel the mission, we're powerless. So before we make our plans, order our leaflets, and engage in conversations, we want to be devoted in our praying. That's our first point, which you can follow on your pink handout, verses 2-4. Be devoted in your praying. We can see from Paul's prayer request in verses 3-4 that for him, prayer and evangelism are inseparable. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul asks that the Colossians pray for him at every stage of the evangelism process. He asks that they pray for opportunities to be meeting people and finding chances to engage with them. He asks that they pray for those conversations to be evangelistic, that he would proclaim the mystery of Christ, the good news of Jesus. He asks that they pray that he would be equipped with clarity so that the words he speaks are true to the gospel he proclaims. What's even more remarkable is that he is making these prayer requests from a less than ideal writing environment, a prison cell, as indicated in verse 3, for which I'm in chains, and later in verse 10, my fellow prisoner. For Paul, instead of asking to be broken out or to get better food, it is considered a far greater gain to have more opportunities to talk about Jesus, the very thing that landed him behind bars in the first place. Behind the locked doors of the prison, Paul wants God to be opening doors for his word. So he asks the Colossians to pray for him, not just any old way, but in the manner seen in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. To be devoted in prayer means to be dedicated to it. The ESV translates it as continuing steadfastly, a continuous, repeated commitment throughout every part of our life. Now, that isn't to say that we don't eat or sleep or work or play board games. Far be it for me to buy from that. But it does mean making it a priority in our lives. Remember the second part of verse 2. Be watchful. One way we ought to be watchful in our prayer is to be wary of distractions, things that make it much easier to forget to pray. We can underestimate the power of habit. By putting off prayer, we get used to not praying. We gradually get accustomed to living without prayer, and so living without depending on Jesus. Instead, we become reliant on ourselves, and so Jesus is forgotten. I heard it being said earlier this week that the spirit of self-reliance is a blight on evangelism. And from what's here in Colossians and from my own struggles with prayerless evangelism, I think that's so true. When things get busy, when things slow down, when the going gets tough or it eases up, when life is just happening as we are going about our gospel mission, I don't always remember the need to pray and find myself quietly persuaded by habit or pride or panic to rely on myself. Earlier on in Paul's letter to the Colossians, he emphasizes the supremacy of Jesus. He is entirely sufficient. He has total authority. He is everything above everything. You can't get more than Jesus. So those who believe in him and receive him are receiving everything. And it also means that in forgetting to pray to Jesus, we are forgetting not just a part, but everything. If we try to tell people the gospel without praying, we end up in the surreal situation of including Jesus in the content, but excluding him from the process. Friends, be watchful. Don't let prayer lie forgotten and let self-reliance slip in to replace Jesus in your evangelism. Every success will tempt you into pride, and with every inevitable failure, because as we saw last week, in a world full of people who hate Jesus, you will face failure. You're going to be worn down until you burn out. We need to remember that Jesus is the true evangelist. It's his power that will save souls, not ours. And praise God that it's that way around. If the fate of my non-Christian friends and family depended on my competence or incompetence, I would have every reason to despair. But it's not. God will save others exactly the same way we were saved, and that's through his power and his word. So let's pray to him and be thankful for his grace and compassion and power, of which we are infinitely lacking. Let's be devoted in our praying. And secondly, be wise in your behavior. Verses 5-6. Be wise in your behavior. I once read a quote about wisdom from the Chinese philosopher Confucius in a collection of Chinese proverbs. Equally, it may have very possibly been on Instagram. He said that true wisdom is knowing what you don't know. Considering the long list of things I don't know, I must be very wise indeed by Confucian standards. But for Paul, true wisdom doesn't come from knowing what you don't know, but from knowing Christ. Before chapter 4, verse 5, Paul used the word wisdom in four other places, and each time it refers to a knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Him we proclaim, teaching everyone with all wisdom, the knowledge of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. We can see from these verses that the wisdom Paul's talking about is one where Christ is known, Christ is proclaimed, and Christ is taught. On the other hand, the only other time he talks about wisdom in his letter is about false wisdom promoted by the false teachers in chapter 2, verse 23, that doesn't come from Jesus. And what are the Colossians to do with this wisdom? Well, they are to be wise. The ESV translates this as walk in wisdom. They are to walk in it with a specific direction to outsiders. The Colossians have been raised with Christ. They are safe. They are alive. They are insiders. We are alive. We are safe. By God's grace, we are able to know Jesus and through him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And as insiders, the Colossians are to take this wisdom of Christ and make it known to the outsider. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. It's not hobby language. It's not a weekend activity. It's telling that Paul's instruction to be wise follows his own prayer request for God's word to go out earlier. Having asked the Colossians to pray for his ministry, he wants them to make the best use of time in their ministry, to maximize their gospel output with all the wisdom they've been given by God through their growth in Christ through prayer. As believers, we have open access to all wisdom through Christ. So let's pray. Pray that Jesus arms us with wisdom as we look to pack every minute of every opportunity we have to share the gospel. It shouldn't come as a surprise then that wisdom spills over not just into behavior, but speech as well, as verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace. During my illustrious football career as a defender for the school C team, the school only had two official teams, I got into a bit of a disagreement with one of my teammates. I felt I had been wronged, but the referee of the match decided to give me a yellow card for misconduct on the pitch. Confident I was in the right, I contested his decision with less than civil language, and the yellow card quickly changed colour to match the colour of the referee's face. I had spoken the truth, more or less. But the way I'd said it had the complete opposite result to what I'd wanted. In the same way, the gospel that is proclaimed will always be true, but that doesn't mean that we aren't to be mindful of how we proclaim it. Paul says in verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul urges the Colossians to speak graciously, with the kind of compassion that was shown to them by God in his grace through Jesus. Their speech is to be considerate of who they're talking to, being able to adjust their manner to the person. Notice the parallels again here with Paul's prayer request in verse 4. In the same way that Paul asks to be clear when he speaks, as he ought to do, he instructs the Colossians to be gracious in their answers, as they ought to do. Paul elaborates on what it means to speak graciously by using the illustration of being seasoned with salt. Imagine a potato crisp that has absolutely no flavor. It's a bit like tasting a tragedy in your mouth. It would be completely bland, but too much salt, and it dries out your mouth and becomes completely inedible. Paul tells the Colossians to salt their speech, to season it with flavor, so that their conversations are pleasant and witty and fulfilling. However, they're also to take care they don't put in too little or too much. They're to match the salt content, depending on who it is they're talking to, so that they might know how they ought to answer each person. They're to be bespoke, custom-crafted crisps, made for that person in particular. You might even say that they're called to be ready salted. And how are they to know? How are they to know how to flavor their speech? That they are to pray. It's been genuinely amazing to hear about how we can be confident in the truth about Jesus. Its power to make disciples of absolutely anyone, and how the opposition we face in our mission is to be expected in light of the complete 180 it puts our lives through, totally changing our relationships and priorities so that Jesus is at the center. I've been so encouraged by our January sermon series and genuinely excited and feeling ready to put into practice the things I've been learning each week. And if you've been joining us this past month, I hope you've been encouraged and excited and readied too. But let's not forget that we are jars of clay, plastic bags holding treasure. Let's not forget who's really fueling our evangelism. Let's not forget to pray. So let's pray now together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching us to pray. We thank you for teaching us through your word, and we're sorry when we, in our sinfulness, In our pride, we slip into self-reliance and we forget to pray. We forget to ask you for help, to depend on you, the true great evangelist. We pray that we might pray more regularly, more committedly, more devotedly. And so be joyful in being included in your great plan to grow your kingdom and bring people to know you and be saved in Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's amazing to think, isn't it, that Unsog was once sent off in a football match. I didn't know that. I'm glad to know it. We've learned lots of other good things as well. Why don't we just spend a couple of minutes talking and thinking about them? There's some questions on the sheet to help us think through what we've just been learning. So let's do that for a couple of minutes. If you'd rather just sit quietly and pray, that's absolutely fine too. But if you're happy to chat, let's do that. And then we'll come back together to pray in a few minutes.
If you could finish those conversations.